fabulous. We are live on Facebook. Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of Margaritas with Margarita Cheng, CFP Pro. Our amazing guest, Kina Pettijohn of LifeLogix, is going to wow you. I am Hope Katz Gibbs, Rita's publicist and the producer of her show on my company's platforms, Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. And it's so much fun to bring this radio and TV interview series to you, where for 15 minutes every Friday, Rita interviews industry experts and we all learn how to flex our financial muscles. Self-proclaimed born-again millennial, Kina is an active supporter and advocate for women's development programs to attract female planners and advisors into the financial planning industry. She says we need more pink boots on the ground. So what a great way to celebrate International Women's Month. Take it away, Miss Rita.
Well, thank you so much, Hope. And Kina, we are so excited that you are here. So let's get to it. I know that you are a passionate supporter of women.
Yes.
And you advocate for women. So tell us what that means.
Interestingly enough, and I'll give you a little background. I started on Wall Street more than three decades ago. And at that point, there weren't a lot of women in the trading floor, at the tables, at the executive level. So I learned when I started my business, which was age 65 in less 10 years, I feel great about serving others. It took a little time in terms of having a mentorship, having a young intern that was in high school, ready to go to Duke University. And I started to realize what it meant to leave the door open for those left behind. I quite didn't get it 30 years ago because you were fending for yourself. But as more and more women get into the business, I was at a meeting and I asked a question, and this is kind of where I'm going in terms of advocating for women. I asked her about upping the ante in terms of pay equality. And I shared the data. When I started on Wall Street, I thought I was making 50 cents on the dollar. I was wrong. I was making 58 cents on the dollar. And then the data showed that we will see pay parity in 2039. So you're asking me, how do I advocate for women? Well, compensation drives behavior. And I think women have a very difficult time to ask what they're worth, to negotiate their income, their benefits, where they are in the company. So when I shared with my own LinkedIn group that work pay will be in 2039, I shared when I gave a talk to the women's investment group at the summit, I will not live to see it. That broke my heart. Mortality tables tell me I will be 100 years plus. And I shared this presentation to the women in the room. I said, now more than ever, don't be shy. Now more than ever, if you really feel that you are due an opportunity, just ask. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be well-timed. You don't have to have the perfect dress or shoes, but it's confidence. And by asking in a way that reflects your true worth, just do it. Don't dramatize it, because when you negotiate in terms of your advancement, you earned it. And what I saw with a lot of women is they, well, you know, and they, you know, they're Gandhi dancing, you know, well, should I ask now? Absolutely. And I say that not just with a sense of humor, but emphatically. And I said to them, you know, don't second guess yourself. There's thousands of people that will do that for you. So I think coming in strong, asking for your worth, compensation negotiation, being aware of how you demonstrate your unique value and your value is something that I really like to talk to women about. And only took me, and I'll share this with you, almost 70 years to learn that. And I don't want others to go through that.
Thank you so much for sharing it. I think it's really important. I know that as a woman, sometimes I'm not the best negotiator advocate for myself, but I'm really good at advocating and negotiating for others. And yes. I think as women, imagine if we help one another advocate. So I love what you're doing. Financial services, financial planning, financial advice. Women are still underrepresented. What are you doing to attract more female planners and advisors to our profession?
Well, as you know, and you are too, I'm an advocate of females in finance. I will always cheerlead that. And for those, I have offered a mentorship. Not that I'm a perfect mentor or a professor, but I have offered up any young person that is looking to go into our business, just call me. I have gone through that, and you know, they're hesitant. It's not a formal mentorship. It's just a matter, here I am. Reach out to me. It doesn't have to be a perfect question. And I think that starts. So when I started working with a high school, this is how I went on my journey. I was asked to teach a high school about finances. I had no idea what they knew. So I said, how do I teach high school students, which started my journey in young women into the profession. And I did this training. Wasn't that complicated. It was called 10 items or less. And 10 items or less is going to the grocery store with your dad or mom and picking out your best shampoo, your best chips, your best candy, your best, and turning it over. And then I want you to look your best toothpaste, looking at the companies that are producing something you are consuming every day. I wanted to make it real for them. So we had fun with 10 items or less. And now when I speak to women in high school or even just not even going to college, I ask them what their plan is. And they're not quite certain. I said, is it money that you're looking for? Is it a philanthropic situation? It's a combination of both. They know that they're very caring and they're empathetic. But again, how do you get into it? So I've talked to companies and they don't have all of their licensing. Take a shot. They don't have all their insurance licensing. They don't have all their securities licensing. And I have no hesitation in asking a company, because I have worked with the biggies, you know, the LPLs and the Soteras and the Sumas, will you consider taking this young person under your wing? So I think that's the best way to get them into the business, as young as possible, from birth if possible.
I love it. I love it. I think that we got to start early. Sometimes my daughter says college is too late. You need to be talking to people in high school and middle school.
Well, the interesting thing, and I didn't do the research, was they indicate that children start learning financial concepts, which is obviously the significance of financial literacy and education, at age 5. And they also understand the relationship with money very early on from their parents on how it is handled and discussed at the table. So again, as early as possible to get them into the concepts, they should be comfortable with it. I handled money, and this is a true story, at age 7. How did that happen? I wanted something. And my father said to me, well, I'll give it to you, but prove to me that you're worth that. Demonstrate to me that you will use it wisely. And here was what I had to do. I had to write reasons, the benefits to me at age 7 as to why he should give me that money for that particular purchase. So if I could learn at age 7, I believe they can do it at age 5.
That makes sense to me. I totally get it. So I know that you are passionate about financial literacy and financial wellness. So what is wellness as a solution?
Thank you for asking me that, because when I started in the business, I was looking at software as a solution. And obviously I did a lot of software in terms of my presentations for strategic solutions. And then in the last 3 years, I started to think about what we feel, the empathetic perspective of money, the conversations we should have, not just asking about a balance sheet. I had no idea, to be honest with you, that COVID was going to happen. I had no idea that people were going to significantly feel depression, seclusion, not knowing what to do next. And what occurred to me is wellness, which I did not know, started to spill over into physical wellness. And I always say bad health leads to bad wealth. I had no idea that we were going to be challenged with cognitive limitations, which spills into mental health. And I had no idea there was technology to assess that. I had no idea that people were just afraid to ask the basic concepts. Where did they start? So that's where the financial literacy started to become important. But more importantly, I started to look at where the advisor was meeting the client. You know, meet me where the money is. And it was very interesting to me. I adore financial planning. I adore getting your affairs in order. But here's what was the rub to me. Here you have a young person that may inherit those dollars. Here you have a young person that has a huge W-2, but no assets from which to manage. So how do you spill over into the young person? And they are digital natives. So I said, there's only one thing, which is technology, which was wellness as a solution, which is WAS. I decided to create that, that can meet them where their money is. Financial planning or the more sophisticated tax strategies, the rebalancing, all that. Well, that's way down on their financial bucket. But when they're first starting out, the basics of budgeting, the basics of understanding debt, the basics of saving or even planning is where they begin. So that's where I say, meet them where their money is. So the technology companies, I think, were brilliant. They started to create assessments in terms of their educational capability as well as their behavioral capability. I have never known in my lifetime where we would start to ask, so that's where you made that financial decision. That's where you were coming from. All we really knew was the algorithms playing behind the scenes. We understood that well. But in terms of asking the behavior questions, how do you feel? Which was very important. The technology companies on the wellness programs stepped up. I did not know that until I started to research all the employee wellness programs that had not entered into the wealth management world. They had already had financial coaches. They already knew how to assess them in terms of different pillars of their education. They had already known, you know what, if you're not learning about savings, we'll automatically sweep that from where you have your checking account or savings account. So wellness, I looked at, and it was interesting. I'll share with you the companies that were sitting on my panel. One was Matt Gardner, and he did Berryville. So I said, oh my God, a gamification for kids to learn money. Money is fun. So I started to understand technology at a young age. Second one, I started to look at wealth care planning, which assesses the cognitive capability. This is not a plug for them, but remember, it's a reality that when an advisor is sitting with the family, and we're talking about caregiving, the odds relative to mortality are very high that they're going to have some cognitive challenges. I never really thought about that in terms of the technology solution. I never really talked about the contextual journey of actually educating them or giving them relevant material at the right time based upon where they are in their life. And so paperwork was there. And last but not least was Questis, which they start at the beginning. These are employees. They don't have thousands of dollars and they just want to start the journey. These were not plugs by any means, but I started to look at technology because I had this question at the panel. Well, how does that fit into financial planning? And I thought that was a brilliant question. So I said, it starts to prepare when you're dealing with someone that is gathering, just starting on their asset journey versus at the end. They're not thinking of retirement. And I don't like that word because I am in age 70 and I like to feel that I'm repurposed, but they're just starting at that beginning journey. So how do you get them? Technically, they're digital natives and they like to play the game. So a lot of these technology companies are very gamified. As soon as they click on something that's their curiosity, like an Amazon, it immediately opens up to more relevant material. So it's tracking them in terms of their journey. And I found that financial wellness was something that could follow them for life. So at the very beginning, first home, first baby, first marriage, first savings account, first car, from there, all the way to the end of getting their affairs in order. I really don't know a lot of technology, and it's a terrible thing. And we quoted this thing from years ago, from the very beginning to settling your final affairs. And when you do wellness questions and behavior, you actually are engaged with them for life.
I've heard cradle to grave, right? Cradle to grave. So LifeLogix, tell us about LifeLogix and the role LifeLogix is playing with wellness as a solution.
When I started, and by the way, thank you both for being with me today. I'm really excited. So if I get hyper, it's because I'm excited. LifeLogix, I started, and you'll get a kick out of this, on my 65th birthday. And I had decided that I didn't want someone else's name on the door. I said, you know what? You've got 30 years of experience. You are considered knowledgeable. LifeLogix was founded on the tenets of health, wealth, and happiness. Little did I know that that was going to play a major role in the relationship an advisor had post-COVID. So when it was founded on a holistic, and I'm not really fond of that word, I wanted to get away from specific products, knowing the tech stacks really well, having gone through multiple integrations, I wanted to get more of how do you feel, you know, versus where's the money? Let's do the balance sheet and reduce you to a single number. And I can do that very well, whether it's a credit score or other scores. So LifeLogix says, you know what? I'm going to look at companies that are really building assessment tools. It took me a while. I didn't know that we were going to have a pandemic. So when I started, people go, oh, what's LifeLogix? I had no idea that there was going to be technology solutions that embraced health, wealth, and happiness. So LifeLogix was founded on health, wealth, and happiness and dedicated to technology solutions that embrace that. That's the story.
I love it. Who doesn't want to be healthy, wealthy, and happy? Wise too. So Kina, we have a question for you. What website? What's your website? Where can people follow you?
So they could find me in a couple of places, but what they'll do is they'll go to www.lifelogix.com. That's LifeLogix.com. They will also find me on LinkedIn. Just go on LinkedIn, search for Kina Pettijohn. Oh, and by the way, I'm the only Kina Pettijohn in the world. So the odds of you connecting me are really good. And I'm also a Twitter person. So if you connect with me on LinkedIn, I'm going to look for your Twitter. I will tweet out to you. You can go onto my website. And if you want to make an appointment with me, the website will automatically book time with me on my calendar. All the guesswork is out of it.
And technology makes it possible. Thank you so much, Kina. Now back to you, Hope.
That was so great, Kina. We really appreciate everything you are doing for women to support us, and especially young women. It's so important that they understand money from as young an age. 5 sounds good to me. So thank you for being with us this afternoon, Rita. Next week on Margaritas with Margarita Cheng, we will be interviewing Julie Pinkerton, the CEO of eVozen. Tell us a little bit about her.
So Julie is going to be coming on to teach us how to be smart about the connections and advisors, connecting with other advisors to serve their clients.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. So it's International Women's Month. And so this month, we're just honoring women everywhere and all the hard work that you do. So thank you, Kina. Thank you, Miss Rita. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. Have a wonderful weekend. And we will see you next Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern for Margaritas with Margarita Cheng. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Hope Gibbs. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.